All right, thank you, Paul. Good morning again, church. As Paul alluded to, I'm Don. I'm one of the deacons here at Submerged Church, and I'm thankful to be here with you to share what God's impressed upon my heart to share on this message. My family today is in Park River, North Dakota. Got a little grandson, Bo, who's being baptized, dedication service in Jake's parents' hometown of Park River. So, but I've got my Submerged Church here today, so I'm super happy about that. As Paul mentioned, triple A pray. Pray anytime, anywhere, and pray always. And if you go to the next slide, Lydia, it's the exact same thing for the big idea. So it's very important. It was important to me as I chose this message. I was thinking about, you know, we meet with the pastors, Tyler and I, the other deacon here. We meet with Pastor Bob and Pastor Paul like once a month. We have a prayer breakfast, and we're getting the preaching schedule here a few months ago, and I was thinking, yeah, what God's going to have me preach on or teach on for the message. And prayer came to mind, and I thought, wow, man, I just don't know if I'm equipped. I just don't know if I'm, I was thinking, God, I don't know if I know enough verses. I don't know if I have enough scripture memorized. I just don't know if I'm ready to teach on that important subject of prayer. So then I would think of something else to teach on, and then God kept circling back around. I tell my staff at my office all the time, if it's hard, that's where you learn the most. So I thought, God's telling me to, okay, dig in here and figure this thing out. So Lord willing, I've figured something out to share with you this morning on prayer. Definition of the word pray. If you look it up in Webster's dictionary, there's a couple different definitions for the word pray. One of them is to address God with adoration, confession, supplication, and thanksgiving. So pray. When you think about pray, next slide, please, Lydia, why do we pray? Why do you pray? It's the interaction here. We're going to be here all morning if we don't get this going. Why do you pray? Have someone to talk to forgive your sins. Amen. Why else do you pray? There's lots of reasons we pray. For answers. Steph, answers. Lots of reasons we pray. If you really kind of step back and look at it, we pray because most of the time we probably need something, would like something from God. Maybe we're thankful for something, which is a great time to pray. Thank God for something he's given us. Maybe we're in pain. Maybe we know others that might be sick. Maybe someone's hurting. Maybe we've got a challenge at home or at the workplace. There's lots of reasons we pray. How about next slide? Why don't we pray? You ever thought of that? You ever stop and look and think? I've done a lot of thinking the last couple weeks as I prepared this message. Why don't I pray? Fear. It's a good one, Charlton. Why else don't you pray? Lost track of time. That's a good one. Unbelief. Maybe a little doubt. There's lots of reasons. I jotted down a few. Sometimes I don't pray because I'm tired. Sometimes I'm tired. Sometimes I think I'm too busy to take time out to pray in my day. Sometimes, truth be told, I just maybe don't care enough about the subject matter that I'm praying on. Maybe I just don't have enough concern or enough heartache to pray over that concern. Maybe I've run out of patience. Maybe I've prayed over something for a day after day, a month after month, year after year, and nothing happens. Maybe I'm just out of patience and I just don't trust God for those answers. Let's pray now before I get into the heart of my message. Heavenly Father, God, as you've shown me these past couple weeks, Lord, you've really poked at my heart, Lord, about actually having a friendship and a relationship, praying and talking to you. God, I pray that this morning, I pray that that would resonate with all of us. We'd want to really be obsessed to pray to you. Every day, all day, anytime, anywhere, and always. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. What does prayer look like? You ever thought, what does prayer look like? Here's a little visual of a prayer. This hangs in the kitchen of our home. It's probably a picture you've seen many times, a man praying for that God would bless his food. Another picture would be in church. Maybe there's a prayer service and people holding hands in unity and praying. Next slide. Maybe have you ever prayed at a basketball game or a baseball game or a football game? I have many times. My kids played sports, and my son was playing football one night years ago, and you got a chance to start and get out there and show what he could do, and I just asked that God, protect Zach out there tonight, and maybe he could do something kind of neat that would impress his coaches right now. And two plays later, opposing quarterback throws a pass, Zach intercepts it, and it's like, oh, praise God. It was just like an instant answer to prayer. It was just, it doesn't always work out that way. It's God's will for what his answers are. But another slide. Have you ever prayed at the workplace? Whatever you're doing, whether you're in farming or you're a lawyer or whatever you're doing, praying at the workplace. Next slide. I pray at my office day to day. I pray that God would guide me as I run my business. I pray for who to hire, who not to hire. All kinds of prayers throughout my day. Next slide, please, Lydia. Praying in your car. What does prayer look like? Do you ever pray in your car? Don't shut your eyes, but you pray in your car. And I've had some of my most awesome prayer times on windshield time when I've just prayed to God driving down the road. Next slide, please. Have you ever been out camping or on the lake praying, asking God for safety on your trip or just saying, God, look at this creation. Oh, God, thank you for what you've created. Praying, relationship with God. Next slide. Bob, Pastor Bob's in the back of the room this morning, and Pastor Bob often references prayer walks. He talks about when he was out on a prayer walk, getting close to the Lord and just yelling out sometimes to God for seeking answers and praying for specific concerns. I've seen Bob and his sweet wife Lila doing prayer walks in our neighborhood. He's on a prayer walk. So next slide, there's a 24-hour clock. I was thinking of, what does that really mean, 24-7? You know, 24-7. 24-7 is just what it means. You can pray, seek God's wisdom, seek God's companionship 24-7. If you think about, what is your prayer life? You just do a little self-reflection. What's it look like? Just kind of think about as I go through these next few minutes of teaching that God's laid on my heart. What does it feel like? What does your prayer life feel like? Does it feel like anything? What's it sound like? How do you sound? Do you sound like you're serious? Do you sound like you're plugged in, seeking God's wisdom? How does it sound? Have you ever won a big prize or gotten a trophy or something for winning first place? Have you ever gotten something like that? That's what it's like. It's the prize as a believer in Christ. It's a connection, one-way street, you and God. What an awesome, humbling experience and that privilege to pray to God. And think about it, it's unlimited. There's no limit on how much you can pray and talk to God. It's not rationed out. There's not like a punch card where you get so many punches. Can you imagine if God said, pretty tied up here these days. I got a lot of people kind of seeking my advice. 5 minutes. I'm just going to give you 5 minutes. Can you imagine if God just gave you 5 minutes a day and that's all you got to pray? Oh my goodness, I wouldn't even know what to do. I'd be like, 5 minutes. How can I share all my concerns or my feelings to you, Lord, in 5 minutes? God does not ration us. God wants that friendship day in and day out. It's humbling. Let me ask you this, and think about this for just a second before you even answer it in your mind. Can God grant every prayer request? Can God grant them all? At first glance, you might think, well, yeah, he's Almighty God. But the answer is no. God cannot grant every prayer request. This afternoon, two teams are going to play football. A believer in Christ, his name is Kirk Cousins. He plays for the Minnesota Vikings. He's preparing for that game right now. And he's a believer in Christ. He's praying for victory today. He's praying that God would keep his team safe and he'd be able to deliver a victory. Other side of the football, Carson Wentz, a believer in Jesus Christ. He's praying for victory today. He's praying that God would guide him on that football field. They can't both win. How about a farmer? 4th of July, fields are dry. The farmer's praying for rain. God, please bring me rain. My crops, they need it. They're dry. 10 miles down the road, another family has a family reunion. They're praying for sunshine. God, please give us sunshine on Sunday afternoon, 4th of July. We have this big reunion. God cannot grant the answer to both of those prayers. But hear me, church, listen to this. God does. God does answer. God will answer the prayers of Carson Wentz today, and God will answer the prayers of Kirk Cousins today in that football game. Might not be exactly the answer that they wanted, but God will answer their prayer today in his perfect will. Paul read it, verse 7. Next slide, please, Lydia. Ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and the door will be opened to you. I've read that verse, I don't even know how many times over the years since I became saved. But I read it with a fever pitch over and over these last 2 weeks. Asking, seeking, finding until that answer, until God gives you that answer. Received, found, open another door. Notice, it's being obsessed. It's never giving up. It's never giving up. You're on your knees. You're asking God in prayer. It's present tense. It's not, I asked yesterday or I was seeking yesterday. No, it's ask, seek, and find. Open the doors. Be persistent in prayer. Ask God and seek Him until He answers that prayer. It might not happen right away. I'm an impatient guy, but I do know by faith, when I pray, I know that God is hearing my prayer. He is hearing my prayer. You really need to pray often. It's and always and anytime. Don't mess around. In other words, just don't be a little casual kind of prayer kind of person. God wants us to mean business. God is wanting business with Him. Come to His throne and mean business. We really need to pray versus just a laid-back, casual prayers. Verse 7 again, prayers to be often. Christ commanded it to pray, ask, seek, knock. Not just casually, but ask and seek and knock with intensity. There's a big difference, casual and persistent. My daughter, Savannah, when she was a young girl, she was, like kids will do, they'll ask for something. And Savannah, I don't know, 6, 7, whatever age she was asking for this pretty expensive. It was a baby whines a lot or a baby costs a lot. I don't know what the thing was called, but it was a lot of money. And we, Monica and I just said, you can't get that. That baby's expensive. I mean, we don't have the money for that right now. The next day, we were at the store the day before. And the next day she said, hey, Mom, Dad, can I get this baby? Whines a lot, whatever it's called. I really want this baby. And I said, no, honey, just Mom and Dad just talked about it. We're just not going to buy that baby for you right now. And then, amazingly, it went away. She never asked again. It was like, I have peace. Never asked again. That didn't always happen. My sweet little girl, Savannah, about that same time frame, she gets another idea in her head. She wants a nano baby. Anybody remember the nano babies? Okay, I'm old. Okay, this has been 25 years ago. A nano baby, Google it. It was this goofy little kind of computer thing, kind of a thing where you'd plug in, like, I got to feed you, baby, right now. I got to change your diaper at 3. I got to burp you. You got to get so much sleep, and you got to kind of put this in, this little nano baby. And then if it didn't happen, the baby would die. This little nano baby would die. So she kept pestering. Like, you talk about anytime, anywhere, and always. Oh, my word. It was like, what's that torture where you drip it on your forehead? Like drip, drip, constantly. Constantly. That sweet little girl is like, I was just getting so annoyed. It was just like, I want a nano baby. I want a nano baby. All day, for days and for days. And Monica and I just kept saying to my wife, it's going to be a hassle. I don't even know computers. I don't know how to run that thing. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to get that nano baby for her. She kept on and on. It was to the point where we went to this adventure school. The band is playing, and she's on the end of the row, and I'm on the other end. All I see is her. It's like I see her lips moving, but it's so loud. I'm like, what do you need, honey? What's going on? So I get a little closer. I said, what's up, honey? What's up, Savvy? She goes, I want a nano baby. It's like, are you kidding me right now? Are you absolutely kidding me right now? I'm just going, I can't even deal with this. I said, we got in the car. I said, honey, we're getting a nano baby. I'm at the end of my rope. So she was persistent. But what a difference. What a difference that little girl. Just the two little casual requests for baby whines a lot. But then for the nano baby, she was on it. This young girl had a mission. She was obsessed with getting that nano baby. And as a earthly father and mother, we wanted to, like Paul said, we wanted to give that to her. So in prayer, there's many casual prayers. I've been guilty of many casual prayers. I have. I've had times where I've prayed on a Monday, Tuesday, like the weekend's coming up, and I'll think, God, you know, it's Detroit Lakes. There's that thing over there. I wonder if we should go there, Lord, or should we stay in Fargo and just, you know, I don't know what we should do. Casual. Maybe like a one-hit wonder. And then come Saturday morning, next thing you know, it's 10 o'clock. I'm just, well, it looks like I'm still in Fargo. I guess I just didn't ask for much more wisdom than that. I've had persistent prayer. I've had many times in my life where I want to get better. I want to get better and be more obsessed with praying to God. But I've had times in my life when I've been very persistent. I've referenced it before. My son Mac played college basketball, and he had plagued with injuries, 2 broken feet, broken ribs. He just had all kinds of problems. His senior year, he's going into his senior year. And now he said, oh, man, it's just killing me. My back is just killing me. So he had, turns out he didn't have just a bulging disc. If you have any back problems ever, he had a herniated or a ruptured disc, the worst one you can get. And I thought, oh, no. Oh God, this poor kid. He's had all these injuries. Now he can't play his senior year. So I just went to the Lord and I said, God, I know the doctors are saying he's got to have surgery to fix this thing. And maybe someone else will work and something else will work. Asking, seeking, knocking. God, show us an option. And then God showed us an option with a chiropractor down in Aberdeen. He goes to this chiropractor, and things were going okay the first week, and then they got worse and worse and worse. And I thought, oh, God, that's not what I was looking for. That's not what we're seeking. What? Just would you allow him, please, God, to have his senior year? And I just kept praying and praying and seeking, and then it hit me in my prayer time. Pastor Dave Mata. I'm going, why is this guy coming into my head? Pastor Dave Mata? What's going on with Pastor Mata? Before Submerged Church opened up, 5 years ago, when my wife and I moved here, we went to Calvary, and Pastor Dave Mata was preaching that morning, and looking up in the van, I see this guy. Oh, that's Dr. Mike. That's a chiropractor, Dr. Mike, down here. I haven't seen him for a long time. And so that, as in my prayer time, I was like, Pastor Mata, wow. And I remember that. I remember seeing Mike there. So I called Dr. Mike. I call him up, and I said, Mike, here's the situation with Mac. And he goes, what do the x-rays look like? I said, he's got to have surgery. They said to fix it. There's no other way. He goes, no. Not the medical doctors. I'm looking for the x-rays from the chiropractor in Aberdeen. What do those look like? I call the Aberdeen chiropractor. What's the x-rays look like, doc? I mean, how's he being treated? We don't do x-rays here. We just treat, you know, people with backaches and whatnot. And I said, I called back Dr. Mike and said, they don't do x-rays down there. He goes, you kidding me? No offense to them down there, what they're doing, but we got to get Mac up here and get him x-rays. And by the grace of God, Mac came up here, got x-rays with Dr. Mike, and he was able to find out the problem in his spine, in his neck, and within 2 weeks, he had him virtually pain-free. It was just an awesome, awesome answer to the persistent prayers of seeking other options. God closed some doors, but God opened up another door, and we were led to Dr. Mike Jorgensen. Keep on knocking, asking God to open the door, or asking God to close the door. Sometimes it might not be his will. If it's not his will, ask him to close one, open up another one. But we need to keep knocking. Know that our prayers are answered. Be assured that prayers are answered. God is not reluctant to give. Think about that. It's our Heavenly Father. God is not reluctant to give. He's not disinterested, or God is not unconcerned about our prayer requests. No, he cares about our welfare, just like earthly moms and dads care about and loving their kids and caring for them. God is not going to refuse the request of his earthly child. Think about that. Next slide. Matthew 6, verses 8. For your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. Oh my goodness, think about that. Okay, if God knows what you need before you even ask him, why does he want you to pray? Because God wants us to be dependent on him. God wants us to seek him and call out to him. God doesn't mock our requests. God does not mock our prayer requests. What he gives is not less quality than an earthly mom or dad would give. Next slide. Paul read it. Verses 9 and 10. Which of you, if your sons ask for bread, will you give them a stone? No. Or if he asks for a fish, will you give them a snake? No, that doesn't happen when you're an earthly mother or father. God does not give ragged substitutes. God does not give a ragged substitute. God will give us what we need. And if you've experienced this, as I have in my life at times, God sometimes gives me better than what I ask for by his grace. Verse 11, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, again, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? But listen, church, listen to this. The thing you want, the thing you pray for, it must be in God's will. It needs to be in God's will. It must not be asked for out of selfish desires. That prayer cannot be rooted in selfish motivation. God will only give what is good and wholesome for us. Christ said that true prayer means business with him, being sincere, genuine, and keeps on asking and asking until God shows an answer. Prayer shows again our dependence. Our dependence on our Heavenly Father is based on our prayer time, seeking him. There's a parable that we're not going to have time to get into now, Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. It's listed in your bulletin. I think it's listed in the bulletin. Hope so. Nope. Well, I would jot that one down. Yeah, it is. Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. And if you read that, it's the parable of the widow. And in that parable, the widow keeps going to the judge and asking to grant a request. And it's like the Savannah thing, persistent, just drip, drip, and he couldn't take it anymore. He just wanted to be done with this lady, and he finally answered that prayer request of the persistent widow. Next slide. Why does God always answer? Why does He not always answer our prayers immediately? I've shared and been transparent, as I've shared with you in messages in the past. I'm an impatient guy. I am just not a man that has a lot of patience. I work at it, and I work at it, albeit, as my wife would say, very slowly, but I'm getting there. I'm getting there by the grace of God, a little more patient all the time. But God does not always answer our prayers immediately. There's a reason for that. Prayer teaches us to communicate and fellowship with God. Next slide. Prayer teaches us to be patient and hope in God and His promise. Be patient and hope in His promises. I work on that every single day, my patience. Next slide. Prayer teaches us to love God, as our Father more and more. Think about that. We got a direct link right to our Heavenly Father. And God wants us to talk to Him, wants us to love Him more and more. When we pray, we are showing that we love God more and more as we pray to Him. Next slide. Prayer teaches us how deeply we trust God and how much we love and depend upon Him. It resonated with me this past couple weeks as I was preparing this message that, oh my, I get going on my own. And I'm just like my own little warrior out there and doing my thing and doing my work and making decisions. There's so many times that I just leave God on the burner. I just don't seek Him out each and every day, all day long. Prayer warriors come to God more and more. And the person's not quite sure about praying to God and being relentless and obsessed about answering that prayer. They just kind of come around sometimes, and this may have happened to you in your life occasionally. I'm just going to only come to God when I've got maybe an emergency or something, some big deal. I'm not going to come to Him with the little things. I'm just going to come around just when I have an occasional issue or an occasional request. It's kind of like a blister coming around after the work is done. Earthly fathers and mothers make mistakes. I make mistakes all the time in how I've raised my children and how I intervene with my, not intervene, that's the wrong word, with grandkids, how I love my grandkids and try to stay out of the road and let mom and dad raise those grandkids. That's their job. I'm there just to play them and leave them and make them cry when we leave. But as an earthly father, I make mistakes. God makes no mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes. God is perfect. And He answers that prayer, that request, that relentless, obsessed request, whatever it might be, if the motives are pure, with His perfect will. Try have a regular prayer time. Mine's in the morning. Try to establish that regular prayer time. Have it be an attitude and an atmosphere of prayer and get in a habit. Just get in that habit and it becomes easier and easier. I know in my life it's become easier and easier when I establish that specific prayer time. Pray at special times. Pray before your meals, before bedtime. Pray every day, all day long. I pray with others. What power in praying with others? At the ELN meeting the other day, we had prayer time with other believers in Christ around tables in groups of 3 or 4. What power in praying with others? Ask. When you're out doing your day-to-day deal in life, whatever you do, whatever God has you doing out there, working or playing or school or whatever it is, ask other people if you can pray with them. It is amazing when you ask others to pray with them. I've had folks in my office that are job seekers. I don't know anything about them. I know they're hurting for whatever reason from the limited knowledge I get, but I'll ask them from time to time if I can pray with them. Sometimes they look at you very strange. Sometimes they say, I just don't really do that kind of thing. But I said, well, maybe when you leave, which if you don't mind, John, I'll just pray with you, pray for you when you leave. Would that be okay? As long as I'm not here, I guess that's okay. But the point is, just offer it. I have business meetings from week to week. I have business meetings, and we have lots of the times it'll be mealtime, maybe lunchtime, and we'll have the food come. And I, in a group of six, and the meal comes, I'll just gently interrupt and I'll say, hey, everybody, would you mind? I'm gonna bless ask that God bless my food here. Would you mind if I just ask if God to bless our meal today? Just bless our time together. And I've never been turned down. I can tell you I've never, ever once had someone say, nope, no, I don't want to do that. I've had people say, you want to do what right now? And I just wanted to ask God to bless the food and, yeah, knock yourself out. I mean, but they've never said no. No one's ever declined that request. Next PowerPoint, there's lots of verses that, again, are inside of your bulletin. We won't go through these right now, but some awesome verses for take-home study for you on prayer that God brought before me this week. The final slide, AAA pray again. I've repeated some things during this short teaching because I've needed them hammered home to me these past couple weeks. I've said, God's just been just pounding away, being relentless, being obsessed with prayer. Pray anytime, anywhere, and always. Just think about it. Think about this as a couple closing thoughts. Jesus was homeless. Jesus walked this earth, took the form of a man. Jesus stood, he knelt, he fell on his face in prayer on this earth. There's no wrong way to pray about posture and how you pray. You can sit, stand, but there's a certain reverence in kneeling if you're able to. Jesus died alone on the cross. He cried out and prayed. He prayed to Almighty God as he died on the cross. In Acts 7, verse 60, Stephen was being stoned. In the Bible, it tells us, Stephen fell on his knees and cried out to God, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Think about that. Talk about praying anytime, anywhere, and always. He's being stoned to death. He is being killed. And he is praying to God that he would forgive the sins of his enemies. Peter prayed before he raised Dorcas from the dead. Over and over we read in the Bible where people prayed. We always have the ear. Think of that. We always have the ear of Almighty God all day long. The moment you accept Jesus, you got an open path to God. Some people think the only place to pray is in church. No, no. George Washington prayed for victory at Valley Forge. He was a man of prayer. Pray a lot. Make it a habit. Be the first thing you do. Get that habit. Get that attitude of prayer. Pray in good times and also pray in hard times. Sometimes we forget to pray in the good times. We just pray in the hard times. 97-year-old Pastor Salem from Aberdeen, South Dakota. I've mentioned him before. Talk about a persistent prayer warrior. He reflected a story in a message he had a few weeks ago of his dad. His dad, he prayed for his dad for 20 years. 20 years, every single day, day and night, he prayed for his dad to become saved. His dad was not a believer, and he prayed for his dad every day to become saved. One day, an evangelist came to town in one of those tent evangelists in South Dakota, little town, and his dad became saved, accept Christ as his Savior. Pastor Salem recounted that 2 months later, in his prayer time, he was praying and said, oh, Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bring my dad to Christ, that you would save him. Realized 2 months later, he'd already been saved. See, he's persistent. He prayed on and on and on for 20 years. It was a habit of prayer to God for his dad. Write out your prayers. There's no shame in writing out a prayer. Write it out. God knows your heart. Pray that prayer. God wants to hear from you. It doesn't matter if it's written form, reading it, or from your heart with your eyes shut. Give the Lord Jesus everything, no matter what. Even if it's hard to describe. Sometimes it is hard to describe what you want to say to God, but God knows. God will intercede. God knows your heart. Just pour it out there to Almighty God. God always answers with a yes or a no. Think about that. God always answers with a yes or with a no. A no is an answer to prayer. We forget that sometimes. When you pray to heaven, to your Father in heaven, always pray in Jesus' name. There's great power, finally, when we pray together. Acts 4, verse 31. After they prayed, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Think about that. They prayed together and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The most important prayer you'll ever pray is to ask Jesus into your heart. If he's knocking at your heart's door this morning, it's as simple like knocking on the neighbor's door. Just answer that knock. Pray that prayer. Ask Jesus into your heart and tell him you'll live for him the best way you can. And you're a child of God, no longer a dead sinner, born again, eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Worship team, please come forward. Oh, no, we're going to be doing communion yet. Daniel, I'll close in prayer before you come forward here, Daniel. Oh, Heavenly Father, God, I pray for the needs of our church family here, Lord. There's people that perhaps might be hurting or lonely. Oh, God, I pray for our nation, Lord. So many lost people that have so much hate in their heart right now, God, in our nation. I pray that they would become and find you, Lord, that Christian believers would seek out and plant seeds for them. I pray for our pastors each and every day here in our church body and across the nation that are giving messages today that would give speak the truth from your word. I pray for President Trump. Oh, God, I pray for that man every day that he would lead our nation. Lord, he would seek godly wisdom each day as he starts his day. And I pray most of all this morning, Lord, for me. I know I need this the most, and God, perhaps others too, that we would go forward, Lord, this morning with an attitude of praying anytime, anywhere, and always, Lord. I just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.